WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On June 11th, Colonel Margaret Kammermeyer must end her career in the military. She's being discharged because she is a lesbian. About 1,000 men and women are forced out each year because they are homosexuals. Colonel Kammermeyer is one of the highest-ranking officials ever to be discharged for homosexuality. She's the chief nurse of the Washington State Army National Guard. She has served nearly 27 years and was awarded a Bronze Star for her tour in Vietnam. In 1985, she was named Nurse of the Year by the Veterans Administration. Colonel Kammermeyer plans on taking her case to federal court. This is not the first time Colonel Kammermeyer challenged military procedure. In the 60s, she appealed policies on marriage and pregnancy and won. Colonel Kammermeyer has four sons. She was divorced in 1980. I asked her what her reaction was to being discharged for revealing that she's a lesbian.
My reaction, I guess, is that I was hurt and disappointed, felt as though I had been negated and my service had been negated since I had already been in the military for 26 years, served my country, and felt that my records should speak for themselves. And so it was very painful. It still is. And on next Thursday, or the 11th of June, when I have to actually turn in my ID card and turn over the rest of the my uniform and that sort of thing, then I'm not quite sure how it'll feel inside, but I'm expecting it to feel pretty bad.
What have you been told about why you have to leave?
Well, it's not a matter of what I've been told. It's what the regulation says. I mean, there are two aspects of that regulation. One is that supposedly, if you're homosexual, you're a security risk. And the second is that you're bad for morale and would undermine the mission of the military, essentially. And, you know, neither of those have any bearing or are grounded in reality. It was, you know, a policy that was developed out of World War II and has gotten progressively more rigid, so that even just saying that you're lesbian, which I did, is sufficient grounds now for discharge.
You came out during an interview for a promotion to chief military nurse. This was back in 1989.
If I could clarify.
Yeah.
I came out as part of a top-secret investigation clearance that I had requested so that I could go to the War College or apply for the War College to be competitive to apply for the position of National Guard chief nurse.
Now, so the question was asked to you about your sexual preference during this security clearance interview?
There was like a dozen pages of just straightforward questions that were asked one after another, to which you sort of knee-jerked a response, is what it appeared to me like. And one of the questions had to do with homosexuality, to which I replied that I was a lesbian.
So did you think at all that your wish to go to the War College and your need for a security clearance might end up in your discharge from the military? I mean, had that possibility entered your mind?
Well, only when I answered the question did I feel like I had sort of, my career was over and that I sort of saw my military life sort of pass before me and go out the window. I mean, there was that sinking feeling that I had. And then I sort of tried to regroup in my mind, I think, and say, well, perhaps they would look at my records. And, you know, the military has always looked at things clearly and seen when they have been wrong. Because I'd had some disagreements with the military in the past, and in each case, reason had prevailed, and I had won my appeals for various things. And so I was hoping that perhaps that would occur in this particular case also.
Why did you reply yes? You could have lied.
No, I couldn't. I mean, that wasn't an option. You know, I'm an officer. I'm a soldier. I was going for top secret clearance for hoping to, you know, get into a position where, you know, trust and integrity and honesty are sort of the standard. And there was, no, I mean, that just couldn't be.
Had you thought about how you were going to answer it before you got there, if you were asked that, because you thought maybe it was a possibility that you'd be asked?
No, I hadn't. I hadn't really dwelled on it very much. It was just going into the next phase and sort of taking whatever came. Because it was not that big a deal, you know. Okay, I'm going to have a security clearance. We'll go through. We'll talk, and we'll move on from there. And again, you know, I kept on thinking about the record that I already have. You know, I'm an educated person. I've been around for a while, and have a military track record. And believed that Uncle Sam would take those things into consideration regardless. And I knew that, you know, at least I could not be blackmailed, which was one of the major concerns having to do with the security clearance.
Right, because you'd be a security risk if you were subject to blackmail.
Yeah, you would think so. And the irony being that the blackmail that really occurred after the fact was from the military. I think that, you know, part of it was to try, after the fact, was to try to encourage me to resign or retire rather than to become a public laughingstock or the public display that has come about as a result of it.
How exactly did you answer the question? And I'm wondering if you looked your interviewer in the eye or if you looked at your shoes while you were answering.
I looked him in the eye and I said, I am a lesbian, period. That was all that I said. And that's, you know, sort of, that's it.
Did it get a reaction or just a check mark on the questionnaire?
Well, he started asking other questions. And, you know, we proceeded on and talked about, you know, just because someone says that they are homosexual, what they are saying has to do with sexual orientation, and that's all that has to do with. And, you know, I felt like perhaps I could enlighten him a little bit in the process of all of that. And so we talked for a little while, and I thought that he sort of was understanding. I mean, this, you know, when you're naive in this business, you really are very naive and can assume that there is a sense of understanding when what they're really trying to do is to undermine and to pull together whatever they can to, you know, to finish their case or to get something. I mean, you know, the irony of all of this, if I can just digress a little bit, is, you know, I had the security clearance. The investigation took place. The board hearing took place. My discharge took place in July of last year. In October of last year, 4 months after the board had already decided that I was going to be discharged, the investigative services came back again to reopen the security investigation. I asked them, you know, why they were doing this, and they at one point said the Department of Army wanted more information and the investigation to be reopened, and the second time they said that the National Guard wanted it. You know, it's like, what's the point? It's moot. I'm going to be discharged from the military as long as that regulation is in place. But then they went around and interviewed people at my work. They went back to all sorts of people that I had worked with in the past, trying to get other names from them of who I might have had work relation or social relation with. I mean, I'm a nurse. And you know, what I was seeking was to continue in my nursing profession. I mean, I could not understand what was going on.
So why do you think they're still investigating you for the security clearance? Do you think that there are ulterior motives here?
You know, you're talking about a government system. I don't know. It seems a little bit peculiar to me.
Mm-hmm. What effect did it have on you personally to say to the investigator that you were a lesbian?
There was sort of this combination of, well, it's out now, and this really is who I am. It's, you know, it was a long process in getting to acknowledge that, and then to make it public was sort of this, well, what's going to happen now? If not only what about my career, but, you know, if people that I know find out, you know, my family finds out, is that going to sort of make me the bad person that homosexuals are supposed to be? And so there was a lot of feeling of loneliness, of emptiness, and wondering sort of just what my life was going to be like.
Was this in a way a coming out for you? I mean, did you almost come out to yourself when you said this?
I think it allowed me to feel integrated, and in some sense that, I think so.
So you hadn't really kind of admitted to yourself?
No, I think, you know, there are some things that probably as you look back are more clear, you know, the hindsight being crystal clear. But that as you're working through a process of self-identification, of understanding who you are, and especially having come from the background that I came from, the very traditional and naive background that I had, that the struggle in some ways was different, and because I had been married and have 4 sons, and so all of the things were new, you know, and learning about myself, and it's a tremendous struggle. I think it's almost like being an adolescent all over again, and maybe that's why the past 2 years I really felt like I was 20, because it's trying to learn who I am, and in my mind's eye, I am young. My hair tells me otherwise, and so do my children. But it is, I think, an evolving process for all of us.
I know you were worried about the reaction that you'd get within the military. What has surprised you about the reaction that you have gotten?
Well, you know, I can't even put words to the amazement that I have had, because everyone from my children to the patients that I work with to my coworkers in civilian life, and the support from the military, at least the National Guard, and some of the people that I have worked with in the past, and even my patients from the past, have called and sent telegrams. I get care packages from the employer of a friend of mine. I mean, it has just been phenomenal.
Lieutenant Margaret Kemmermeyer is my guest. She's been discharged for being a lesbian. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Colonel Margaret Kemmermeyer, one of the highest-ranking military officers to be discharged for homosexuality. You've been in the military for 30 years. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to share one of your most vivid memories from your career. I know you were in Vietnam during the Tet Offensive, working in a hospital.
Well, I think, you know, I had some extraordinarily tragic memories of patients that I was involved with, but there was one just, you know, to show the uniqueness, the wonderful character of the soldiers that we cared for. I was a head nurse of a neurosurgical intensive care unit there, and there was a young man who had had essentially lost half of his brain, and we were not expecting him to survive. We ended up taking him back and forth to the operating room several times because of complications, and he just didn't respond at all. He didn't die, and he stabilized, and so we were getting him ready to come home. And we always talked to them, the soldiers, before anything happened, and, you know, that's one of the premises of nursing, is that hearing is the last of the senses to go. So talk, and maybe the message will be heard, even though they may not be able to respond. And so I went over and I said, Leroy, we're getting you ready to go home. And he only had one eye left, and he opened it for the first time. And, you know, it was, I personally sort of couldn't believe it. And I said, you're going to be going home. We're sending you first by helicopter down to Tansanute, and then you'll go to Japan, and then you'll go home. And this is a guy now we had had for a month who hadn't given any idea that he was still there. And he took his hand that he could still move, raised it, and gave, you know, like the high sign. And, I mean, we all fell apart. You know, I cried. Everybody on the ward came over. You know, and it was sort of an affirmation of everything that we were doing there had the potential of value. And you know, I see him in my mind's eye, and he is one of those hallmarks that, you know, you wonder, how is he doing? Is he still alive? You know, all of those things that you never know. But that was probably one of the more nice, meaningful events.
Obviously, this is the kind of work you get very emotionally involved with.
But you're not supposed to. You know, my teachers always said you're not supposed to get emotionally involved, to which my response has been, how can you not? And the advantage in the Army has been, or in the military, is that you never know when you're going to see someone again. And so it's not that you might not be friends or might not be stationed together somewhere else, but you do get hooked. I mean, you get hooked because you're all together in the family. I mean, it really is a large family.
The military?
Yes.
Is that what's kept you in the military all these years?
I love the military. I love serving my country. I love wearing the uniform. I feel good serving and being part of it.
You only have a few days left in which you will be allowed to be part of the military. What are those next few days looking like to you?
Well, my drill weekend is coming up this coming weekend. I have some projects that I need to finish off and some people I need to say goodbye to. And, sorry. It's going to be difficult. And on the 11th, I go to turn in my gear and turn in my ID card. And I'm just going to have to sort of regroup with all of that when it's taking place, I guess.
Do you know what you'll be doing professionally after you leave the military on June 11th?
I work in a civilian hospital. I'm a nurse clinical specialist, and there has been no effect on my job. So I will continue to do that work. And when some of these things die down, perhaps I can get back to doing my clinical research.
Do you feel that in challenging the ban against gays and lesbians in the military that you're serving your country but in a different way?
That's been my way of rationalizing the loss, you know, in a way. It's a bit like, well, I don't always know what I'm supposed to do in this world, but there must be a reason why these things are happening as they are. And if I can't serve in one way, then perhaps I'm supposed to serve in another. And I think that the military will be a much better place once that regulation is eliminated. And if that becomes what I need to do, then I will.
Colonel Margaret Kammermeyer. We called the Pentagon to comment on the colonel's discharge and the military ban on homosexuality. A spokesperson who is handling this case declined to comment on tape, but he told us Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney has stated he has no intention of changing the policy that states homosexuality is incompatible with military service. General Colin Powell addressed this policy in February before the House Armed Services Committee. Powell said it's difficult in a military setting where there is no privacy to introduce a group of individuals who are proud, brave, loyal, good Americans, but who prefer a homosexual lifestyle, and put them in with the heterosexuals who'd prefer not to have somebody of the same sex find them sexually attractive, and put them in close proximity, asking heterosexuals and homosexuals to share the most private facilities together, such as the bedroom, the barracks, the latrines, and the showers. I think that's a very difficult problem to give the military. It would be prejudicial to good order and discipline to try to integrate that in the current military structure. End quote, General Colin Powell. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.